What in the world is going on in Texas? Over 100 earthquakes have rocked the state of Texas in the past 7 days. That's 100 quakes in just 1 week. California just saw a sizable earthquake that struck in Los Angeles. A tectonic plates under the ocean of the Pacific is starting to break apart. All this comes on the heels of experts warning that the United States is within about a 50-year mark of seeing the next megathrust earthquake. All of this, plus today, we're going to talk about Turkey's Erdogan is now threatening Israel, even threatening to invade Israel. We're going to show you why all this is shaping up to be absolutely biblical and prophetic. All this and more on today's ETH Viewpoint. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome tonight's program. It is Tuesday, July 30th. We're about 1 day away left of July, and then we get into August of 2024. We're already past the halfway mark of this year, and it's been a doozy. Listen, we're getting ready to get started on tonight's program. If you can do me a favor, help us out, get the message out, spread our word, spread this ministry out on these platforms. And you can do that by easily hitting the like button. Just smash that like button. Take it a step further. If you'd like to continue to see our content on YouTube, on Rumble, hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell notification. You guys listening by Apple, by Spotify, do us a favor. Give us a good review. This helps boost us out on these podcast programs as well. And of course, the best way to keep up with our ministry by far, in my opinion, is downloading our free app. Again, it is free for you. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. Every headline, every podcast, every breaking news alert, everything is going to be right at your fingertips. So we've got a lot to cover tonight. I want to talk about these earthquakes. We've got two sections of this program tonight, on two segments rather. In the first segment, we're going to talk about earthquakes that's popping off here in the United States. We're going to talk about a new warning that's come out by the USGS. We're going to talk about, then we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk about the Middle East. We're going to talk about how a major player of prophecy is coming into the picture like never before, shaping up to what I believe is a major indicator that we could be on the precipice of seeing Ezekiel 38:39 come to pass even within the next 5-10 years. And that may be overstating it, but who knows at this point.
The ground in West Texas, and specifically the county of Scurry, continues to shake. Ken Molestina with an update today on the damage and also the concerns after nearly 100 quakes have been registered in that area since last week.
In the past 7 days, residents of the town of Snyder and across Scurry County have had 91 earthquakes so far, the biggest a 5.1 quake on Friday. A few of the smaller tremors registered on Monday.
And that is from 1.5 and up. On earthquakes. You know, some were small, some were the stronger ones.
Jay Calloway is the emergency management coordinator for both Snyder and Scurry County, which are under a disaster declaration.
The damage varies. Everybody has a little bit of different damage, cracked ceilings, cracked walls, some mortar bricks, separation. There are a few foundation cracks.
While officials respond to the situation, geophysicists like SMU's Dr. Brian Stump are already looking into the activity.
What about this do you think is worth continuing to talk about and ask questions?
The first is, can we understand if they are triggered earthquakes, how we've triggered them, and so change practices so we don't?
The second main point for experts is to plan.
That's interesting. They don't even know, from what he just said, they don't even know if they're man-induced. Or in what we would call fracking. Was this caused by fracking? He says we don't know this. We don't know if it's man-induced or if or it's something else.
For what might come next.
To reduce the hazard and the risk in the future to future earthquakes.
Dr. Stump says it's important to find out what caused the quakes in the first place.
That even faults that haven't moved for a long time, if we perturb them, either by injecting fluids or changing the forces on those, sometimes we can trigger those events.
All right, so listen, if we got folks listening, watching, if you can comment, if you're from this region, I'd love to hear from you in the comment section below. If you're in the chat and you're from Texas, you're in this region, you've felt these, you've seen these, you've experienced these, let us know your thoughts. What's your opinions? Is this the result of fracking or is this something else? I found it interesting. On average, Texas experiences around 25 to 30 earthquakes annually. Let me say that again. On average, the state of Texas experiences around 25 to 30 earthquakes a year. But this has been over 100 earthquakes in just 7 days. Think about that, guys. Most of these quakes are minor on average. They typically register below 3.0 on the Richter scale. However, just as you heard the official said here, that the largest one was a magnitude 4.9 out of this swarm. We would call this an earthquake swarm happening. Out of all of these over 100 earthquakes, there was a magnitude 4.9 that was felt on July 22nd. And the damage was found throughout Scurry County, again, and it impacted businesses and residents. And again, so this is very alarming, to say the least. Now, I did some research on this and discovered that the number of felt earthquakes has increased in recent years. Now, according to this report, particularly in areas where there is oil and gas production activities, which are associated with induced seismic activity. So the bottom line is there a possibility that this is man-induced by fracking, drilling for oil? Of course. But the thought, if you were listening to that video carefully, there's concerns that by continuing this, they could rupture or manipulate a known existing fault line. Now, if that was to happen, that would not be good. Because, for example, let's think about some other fault lines that we know of. We have the San Andreas. We have the New Madrid fault. Could you imagine if this was taking place on that fault line? I'd be really concerned because that fault line has a history. It has a history of producing large earthquakes. Now, speaking of the San Andreas.
Did you feel it? Southern California shakes following a magnitude 4.9 earthquake felt from Los Angeles all the way to Las Vegas.
So this, again, the epicenter was felt in, the epicenter was Barstow, but then it, in Los Angeles region, felt all the way into Nevada.
The USGS says the earthquake hit at 1 p.m. with an epicenter roughly 13 miles northeast of Barstow in San Bernardino County.
I did feel it. It was a little shift at my house, a little bit of noise. KTLA Shelby Nelson now joining us live at UC Riverside with more on today's quake. Shelby?
That's right. And right when it happened, we were seeing those preliminary reports coming out about how large this quake was. A lot of people buzzing on X saying where they felt it. Some people even as far as Vegas. But experts say that they believe this happened on the Calico Fault, which crosses over through the Mojave Desert. Now let's take a look.
Okay, so this wasn't even on the San Andreas. This was on another fault. There's so many faults. It's like the arteries of these faults run through, and they interconnect, in my opinion, from what I've studied on this. And I, of course, I stand to be correct because I'm not an expert on this. I'm not a seismologist, but I'm pretty sure these all interconnect with one another and run into the San Andreas.
Take a look at some of this video that came into our newsroom. A little bit of shaking you see there on those surveillance cameras at Barstow Station Liquor. A water bottle falls off the shelf. Luckily, not much damage. This rattling wasn't too bad, but the quake was recorded as a magnitude 4.9 with a depth of just under 5 miles. Now, let's show you a map that gives you an idea of where the epicenter of this quake was. The U.S. Geological Survey says it happened at 1 p.m., roughly 13 miles northeast of Barstow in San Bernardino County. It was was first recorded as a magnitude 5.1, but quickly downgraded from that.
And the USGS has a long track record of doing that. They have a history of downgrading earthquakes. Now, I don't understand why they do this. There is conspiracies and speculations on why they do this. But you'll see this a lot. There'll be a 7.5 somewhere, and then they'll downgrade it to a 6.9 or a 7.0. It's very rare. And in the 20, you know, some on years of ministry that I've been in, and the 14 years of doing End Time Headlines and doing these reports daily, it's very rare that I see the USGS actually upgrade an earthquake, raising the magnitude level, but it is very common for them to lower the magnitude.
Scientists looked at similar events with a magnitude 4 and greater within about a 6-mile span of there. They say they've had 22 similar incidents since 1932, the largest being a magnitude 5.3 quake in 97. Now, we just had the chance to speak to UC Riverside professor of seismology, Gareth Funning, who weighed in on what this could mean.
It's not a very big earthquake in the grand scheme of things. It's around magnitude 5. So it will be felt regionally, but it won't cause much damage regionally. One thing we should be careful of is to dismiss the possibility that there could be a larger one to follow.
He said, we must be careful to dismiss the possibility of a larger one to follow. So this is interesting. So again, for all of you that are maybe listening from the West Coast, particularly in California, if this is in your region, your area, we'd love to hear from you in the comments, in the chat, on YouTube, on Rumble. Were you impacted? Did you feel this in your region?
About 1 in 10 times we have an earthquake of that size that's followed by a larger one.
And that's exactly what happened in Kern County with the Ridgecrest earthquake of 2019. Professor Funning says this is a good reminder.
It's a kind of a wake-up call in a way, that, or a reminder that we...
Wow, the verbiage. This is a wake-up call. And I'm going to give you a fresh report that came out today that is, you could call it a wake-up call.
We live in earthquake country, and we really ought to be taking measures to prepare for earthquakes.
And that, of course, always means to have water, food for several days in advance, just in case an emergency situation were to happen. You are prepared and have medical documents, anything that you're going to need in case of an emergency.
Now, see, what she said right there is interesting. We've been saying this. It's one thing to be prepared spiritually, having your house set in order spiritually. Noah, the Bible says Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now, that could go two different ways. You could talk about that in the natural. Yes, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household from a natural flood, from a literal catastrophic deluge that was going to come upon the whole earth. He prepared for that by building a real, literal, physical ark. But we also know that this could be spiritual in speaking as well, because you can prepare. Come on, we should all be a Noah and all prepare our household accordingly. Because the world is wicked and it's getting more wicked. The world is evil and it's becoming more evil. And just in the days of Noah, the Bible says that violence covered the earth. And Noah did something in response to that. So what I'm saying is, let me go back to this. If you're living in an earthquake zone, you live near a known fault zone, it is not a lack of faith. I get so tired of Christians criticizing other Christians that try to tell others to prepare accordingly. Again, if for some of you, you would have criticized Joseph if you were around when Pharaoh had a dream in which he saw 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and Joseph interpreted the dream and told him that this was a warning from God that famine was coming, and Joseph gave specific instructions to the leader of Egypt on how to prepare accordingly so that he would not get caught off guard. And Joseph instructed him to what we would call prep, to prepare, to store up, and to make preparations for what was coming. And it's amazing. So are you going to accuse Joseph of having a lack of faith and not trusting God? So please don't say that to a fellow brother or sister who is trying to help others, other brothers and sisters who may be in earthquake zones on the West Coast, on the New Madrid Fault Zone, or whatever the case may be. Don't blast them because they are prepared. They have plenty of water. They have non-perishable food stored up. They have flashlights. They have candles. They have generators. They have batteries stored up. They have a plan. They have an escape route. They have a strategy laid out. Don't make fun of them. Don't criticize them, because it could very well be you that is caught with your pants down and not prepared accordingly. So y'all understand that? So let me give you, I'm going to give you some information here based on this. The largest earthquake ever recorded in the Los Angeles area was the 1857 Fort Tejon earthquake, which took place on January 9th, 1857. This quake was estimated to have a magnitude of 7.9. So that just lets you know what this is capable of in that region. And this was, again, it caused significant damage along the San Andreas Fault Line, particularly near Fort Tejon, in Central California. The most significant recent earthquake that impacted Los Angeles in our lifetime was the Northridge quake. Some of y'all remember this. You were alive then, and you, maybe you can comment on this if you were experiencing this. This took place on January 17th. That's my birthday, by the way, 1994, which had a magnitude of 6.7, and it caused extensive damage and even loss of life. So the point is that this area that they were just discussing, this area that this earthquake just transpired on, has a track record. It has a history, and it has the capability to produce damaging earthquakes with the potential to cause the loss of life. So this is, again, why this seismologist is saying it would be best to prepare. Don't be caught with your pants down. Be prepared. Don't get caught off guard. And we shouldn't just brush it off, because it could be an indicator of a larger event. And then I came across this article, and this is all in relation to this. The tectonic plate under the Pacific Ocean is being torn apart. According to a new study, looking at four plateaus in the Western Pacific Ocean suggests that these expansive areas aren't rigid slabs, but weak spots being yanked apart by the distant forces at the plate's edge. Quote, "The theory's not carved in stone, and we're still finding new things," according to University of Toronto geophysicists who co-authored this new study. Quote, "We know that geological deformations like faults happen on the continental plate inferiors far from plate boundaries, but we didn't know the same thing was happening to ocean plates." Now, again, according to the studies here, they've discovered that these tectonic plates under the Pacific are being torn apart. Now, why is this significant? Because if one of these slips or erupts, it could lead to several significant geological events, such as, I'm going to go over some of these events, and then I'm going to show you here in a moment how all this is, I believe, plays in biblically. When one of these tectonic plates slips or erupts, it can produce massive earthquakes. The sudden slip along, especially fault lines, where these fractures in the Earth's crust is where tectonic plates meet. The impact of this, again, could lead to what we would call these mega thrust earthquakes. This is what happened in Japan in 2011. Then it can actually trigger volcanic eruptions. The movement of these tectonic plates that converge where these boundaries are, where there is known volcanic craters and active volcanoes, it can produce the eruption of magma, ash, and gases from these volcanoes, and it leads to lava flows and ash clouds and volcanic mud flows. Then you have, of course, in this case, it's talking about under the Pacific. So if it was to rupture under the Pacific, of course, this could cause an underwater earthquake producing a large, powerful, destructive tsunami. And they have warned the West Coast, howbeit Seattle and California, they have warned about this for years, guys. So this is just a couple examples of this. Now, I thought this was definitely newsworthy to discuss. since we're talking about the West Coast here, California lake has seen a mysterious fish die off that has killed hundreds of thousands of fish.
Not a record heat several states dealing with across the country, mainly in the West, though.
In California, high temperatures are being blamed now for killing dozens of fish in a lake called Lake San Antonio. Leslie Duarte has that story.
People arrived to the lake for a fun holiday weekend, but when they got here, they found a lot more in the water.
I don't know what's going on with the fish right there, you know what I mean?
Lakegoers were shocked, confused, and grossed out when they arrived to Lake San Antonio to swim, but found the shoreline littered with hundreds of dead fish.
I was a little bit shocked because we were just here 2 weeks ago and there was none of that.
The unusual sight left many wondering what happened to the fish and questioning whether it was safe to get in the water.
We just left because it was too gross to swim in there because it was full of fishes.
Last week, Monterey County warned visitors of the dying fish and said there was no harm to humans or pets, but advised swimmers to leave the fish alone. So what happened to the fish?
California Fish and Wildlife say this mass die-off happened because of the high temperatures depleting oxygen from the water.
Now, in this particular case, they're attributing this to the extreme temperatures of the heat. But what I found interesting, and is known that many times mass fish kills can sometimes precede earthquakes. Again, it's not a definitive sign, but various factors can produce mass fish kills. In this event, this would be what we call an environmental change. Again, rapid changes in water temperature and oxygen levels is what they're saying that they're contributing this to. Then you have pollution, chemical spills, kind of like the Gulf spill incident that happened back in, 2011, maybe somewhere around there. Then you have disease outbreaks, and then the algae blooms, but then earthquakes. There are some theories that suggest that changes in the Earth's crust, such as the release of gases or shifts in the seabed. Now, remember, we just talked about the tectonic plates shifting under the ocean could affect underwater environments and lead to fish kills. Again, this is interesting because if you go back and you look at the 2011 earthquake in Japan, if my memory serves me right, there was these deep sea creatures that was washing ashore. And this was not just Japan, it was in New Zealand as well. And it was, and all this happened right before there was a huge earthquake took place. These unusual, very rare deep sea fish and creatures were seen washing ashore of these beaches, and it was right before a major earthquake took place. All right, then we had this report. Mega earthquake is posed to rock 5 states in America's heartland in the next 50 years. A mega earthquake could rock America's heartland, home to at least 11 million Americans in the next 50 years. It would be suffice to say that many, many people that are in this podcast, either watching or listening, you would be impacted by this. There's a little known 150-mile-long stretch to Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Illinois that has the conditions to generate a 6.0 magnitude plus earthquake. The National Guard this following week in St. Louis conducted earthquake preparation drills. They do this every year. They simulated a focused response to a magnitude 8.4 earthquake. Now experts are putting the chance of a quake that size happening within the next 50 years at around 40%. And every year that goes by, the likelihood becomes greater. Guys, that's in our lifetime. Some of you will still be alive when the next big one hits. According to Robbie Myers, who is an emergency coordinator with the Missouri Department of Safety, he gave that recent analysis. And again, I want to pull this up so you can see this, what I'm looking at. Of course, we're not talking about the San Andreas or the Hayward Fault. We're talking about the New Madrid seismic zone. I used to live there in that region. I lived right above Kentucky. I lived in a place called Jeffersonville, Indiana. I lived there many years. I've lived in Kentucky. So I was right in that seismic zone. I'm very thankful I don't live there anymore. But to be honest with you guys, that's not why we moved. It was probably the last thing that was on my mind for a reason to actually move out of state. But every now and then when articles like this would come up, it would make me think about it for sure. But again, if you're looking at this, you guys listen by Apple and by Spotify. Again, this is a 150-mile long stretch called the New Madrid Seismic Zone. It stretches through five states: Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Illinois. And again, the recent analysis is giving a 40% chance. If you live in that area right there in that zone, there is a 40% chance that you, in the next 50 years, could see a magnitude 6.0 or higher in that region. Now, Myers, who's we would call him an expert in this field, said that thousands of people could potentially die. Bridges crossing the Mississippi River could collapse. Major highways, including Interstate 55, would buckle, while oil and gas pipelines could completely break, causing nationwide disruptions. And of course, he's basing this on the history of this fault zone, which, in December of 1811 to February 1812, as well as evidence that there was ruptures in the 15th and 10th centuries as well. And again, I want to remind you, he says that, quote, an earthquake in the next 50 years is a strong possibility and people should take precautions. And right now, there's nothing more pressing. And every year that goes by, the likelihood becomes greater. One geophysicist, Chris Kramer, at the University of Memphis, told a publication that a major earthquake near the New Madrid would cost the nation an average of $10 billion a year for 100 years from damaged buildings and lost infrastructure. I want to say that again. That's incredible. If this event was to happen again, like 1811, 1812, it would cost the nation an average of $10 billion a year for 100 years that would come from the damage of the buildings and the loss of infrastructure. Now, guys, when I read stuff like that, and I share the concern that I have that our nation's leader, whoever it be at this moment, it's who knows who it is. Is it Biden? Is it Kamala Harris? Is it whoever? Whatever leadership is of our nation and your nation, whatever nation attempts to divide Jerusalem and curses Israel, this is the thing that I fear. One of the things I fear the most is that as we try to divide God's land, he would literally come in and literally divide our land. And I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about a literal division, geologically speaking, or geographically speaking, excuse me, that it would literally divide this nation right down the heartland of America. And guys, it's not just the New Madrid. Again, as we said, if you live on the West Coast, I would be concerned over there too. Look at this piece from themostimportantnews.com. In California, unprecedented land movement of about a foot per week is breaking gas lines, cracking roads, and causing homes to sink. This is an actual picture that you're looking at of a neighborhood in California where these massive sinkholes are opening up. Again, there is massive land movement that is causing about a foot per week, transpiring, breaking gas lines, cracking roads, and causing homes to sink into the ground. Now, this is taking place specifically in Rancho Palos Verdes in California, and this garners the attention, especially of locals. But what is taking place there is being described as an ongoing landslide, but the term doesn't really do it justice. Others are calling what they're witnessing a land movement on a massive scale. According to Fox 11 in Southern California, this land movement is breaking gas lines, cracking roads, and causing homes to sink.
An up-close look at the destruction in Rancho Palos Verdes caused by unprecedented land movement. Recent reports suggest the ground is moving about a foot per week. Fox 11's Matthew Seedorf is live tonight after navigating through some of the most treacherous areas of that neighborhood. Matthew?
Christine, really unbelievable to see just how much this land has moved. Now, this road used to be up where our camera is now. I estimate probably 12 feet higher than where we are currently, and it's only getting worse out here. Fox 11 walking exclusively with experts viewing record-breaking land movement in Rancho Palos Verdes.
As you can see, their elevation was about 6 feet higher.
This neighborhood off Portuguese Bend, ground zero.
The gas line breaks about 3 times a week.
Gas, wow. A frequent smell. Homes and roads here cracking and sinking more every day.
You have to think to yourself, this isn't real. And that's how I feel here. I feel like I'm on a movie set, but in reality, this is 25 people's homes.
Think about what he just said. It doesn't even seem real. He feels like he's on a movie set.
Drone video from the Alpha Structural team shows a giant separation of land cutting through the neighborhood.
Look at that, guys. This looks, has anybody ever seen the movie 2012? It's based on the end of the world, and it was supposed to end from the Mayan calendar and the apocalypse, all this stuff. Remember in that movie in 2012, there was these scenes where there were these massive trenches that was opening up, these massive cracks opening up in the earth. And there was one scene, particularly in California, where this was happening. And now this is not a movie set, friends. This is reality. This is happening. Earth is in travail. It's groaning. It's breaking apart. What in the world is going on? We're going to talk about that in just a second.
This whole part, it just pulled away from over here. It opened up a chasm.
They have abandoned the underground water mains.
Water main pipes now above ground to prolong breaks.
There's the garden hose that goes up to their house to give them water.
I think I'd be moving like yesterday.
A garden hose used to get water into a home. It would be challenging to walk upright.
Absolutely.
One homeowner climbing a rope to reach their house, but Friday, the driveway now possibly too steep even for that.
Wow.
And in the last week, I think it's gotten so bad, they're actually packing up, it looks like, and moving along with the house across the street.
This area continues to drop roughly 12 feet in the last year or so. Just look at this home. It used to be street level, and now it's way down here. Is there anything that's making it worse right now?
It's possible that the unusual wet weather we've had in the last couple years has contributed to it, but it's also possible that it's just kind of a cycle over time.
Now, what do you think is going to happen if and when one of these mega quakes hit? A large one, an 8.0, an 8.5, a 7.9, and that region, them homes, friends, I'm telling you what, them homes will be swallowed up. I mean, this is happening, are you a foot a week? Again, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. There's no way I would live there. I would be moving, like I said, like yesterday. Now, biblically speaking, guys, again, we've talked about this. The Bible tells us that there will be an increase and intensification of disasters in the end times. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of Revelation, just to name a handful, all of these give us clues and passages that we are going to see this. In Matthew 24, 6 through 8, God said there will be earthquakes in various places, and these will be like birth pangs. In Mark 13, 7 through 8, he said there will be great earthquakes in various places. And again, like birth pangs, Luke 21, 10 through 11, there will be, again, also great earthquakes. Revelation 6, 12, there will be a sixth seal that will be open, and it will produce a great earthquake. The sun will turn like black as sackcloth made of hair, and the moon turn to blood. And again, this we could list a whole lot more, but this is just a few that I wanted to share with you to show you. Now, can I take another angle here? Many of these things could also be forms of divine judgments of God. And you say, what? Yes. Let's talk about that. In Genesis 6, we see the flood. There was a global flood. This was a flood that took place in Noah's time, and it covered the earth as a result of humanity's wickedness because of their sins of that day. Then there was the plagues of Egypt. Okay, some of these would be what we would call natural disasters, such as hail and locust. Okay, then there was the drought in Elijah's time in 1 Kings 17. God himself withheld the rain for several years, and it caused a severe drought in that time of Israel, and it was because of the wickedness and the sins of that day. Okay, then we see natural disasters probably played a role in divine judgment, as in Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed from fire and brimstone coming out of heaven. Some Some scholars speculate, and even seismologists and volcanologists have come together, and they have speculated that this was a volcanic eruption that took place on the Dead Sea. Then you have earthquake. There will be, according to the Bible, there was an earthquake on Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. Okay, then there was an earthquake at the crucifixion in Matthew 27:51. Remember, this is the quake that rent the temple in two. And you go to the book of Isaiah, guys, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, there is storms, disasters. God says, I will bring a great whirlwind and it will go forth and cause disaster from disaster to disaster to go forth. And then again, the book of Revelation, it's filled with earthquakes, hail, and all kinds of natural disasters that are used. So again, when we see this, we got to remember that God is on the throne. And all of these are, A, it's an indication that the birth pangs of the Messiah are intensifying as we get close to the breaking of the water and the introduction, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the age. Okay, and number two, you can expect the intensification of these disasters, the more sin, abominations, and wickedness that continues by mankind in the earth, you're going to see this stuff increase. And since we're in the same vein of this, let me bring this up. Just a day after all of the debauchery and the blasphemy that took place at the opening ceremony of the Olympics in Paris. Did y'all know this? I'm sure many of y'all you knew this, but Paris went dark in many parts of the city. And the only thing that remained lit was this church. Look at this image. You guys that are watching this, look at this. Look, everything's it's out, but this thing remained lit up. The church remained lit. Paris goes in dark. Again, this came the day after they openly mocked the Last Supper on the platform on the world stage of the Olympics. Then you had this article. This is recent. Paris Olympics braces for extreme thunderstorms. The country's national weather agency in that region just issued an orange alert saying that there's a high risk of thunderstorms that will produce heavy rains and hail damage. Again, this all follows this mockery of the Lord's Supper. All right, now I'm going to shift gears for the next maybe 15 minutes or less, and I'm going to talk about what's going on in the Middle East. Let me give you this report. I'm going to show you this. All right. Israeli settlements in Palestinian territories, according to the top UN court, say they violate international law. Now, what have we said? This is no surprise. We've told you, according to Zechariah, the nations of the world will come against Israel. So this, you should not be surprised by this. The International Court of Justice has declared Israel's prolonged occupation and settlement policies in Palestinian territory since 1967 are, quote, unlawful and must end swiftly. This non-binding advisory opinion may intensify the legal and diplomatic scrutiny on Israel amid its ongoing conflict with Hamas in Gaza. The UN court ruled Israel's settlements in West Bank, along with the annexation of East Jerusalem and continued control over certain aspects of the Gaza Strip, all violate several international laws and norms, including the Hague regulations and the Fourth Geneva Convention. The court, and I'm going to give you this quote, the court considers that the violations by Israel of the prohibition of the acquisition of territory by force and of the Palestinian people's right to self-determination have a direct impact on the legality of the continued presence of Israel as a, quote, occupying power, and the occupied Palestinian territory. Again, this is according to the International Court of Justice. All right, then we had this recent strike in a Israeli-controlled Golan Heights region on a soccer field that killed at least 12, and we're talking about children involved in this, and Israel is From what I understand, they are preparing a swift response to this. They've already responded, but I believe, from what I'm understanding, there's going to come even greater swift reaction. According to experts, according to Associated Press, experts in that region fear that this could spread a broader regional war. They're calling this the deadliest attack on Israeli civilians since the attack on October 7th. Let me read. This is from Foreign Minister. This is from a foreign minister of Israel that spoke to Israeli Channel 12. That's a local affiliate in Israel. Let me read what he said here. Quote, there's no doubt that Hezbollah has crossed all the red lines here, and the response will reflect that. Again, this is from Israeli Foreign Minister Israel Katz told Israeli Channel 12, quote, we are nearing the moment in which we face an all-out war. Also, I found this extremely intriguing. This is from the Times of Israel. Look at this headline. Turkey's Erdogan appears to issue an open threat to invade Israel over the war in Gaza. Turkish President Erdogan on Sunday appeared to threaten to invade Israel in support of the Palestinians and to put an end to the nearly 10-month-old war Israel is fighting against Hamas in Gaza. Quote, Turkey must be very strong so that Israel cannot do these things to the Palestinians. Just as we entered
Nagorno-Karabakh,
just as we entered Libya, we might do the same to them. There's nothing we can't do. We must only be strong. Now, why is this significant? Well, we know that Turkey has an alliance with foreign nations. Turkey is a member of NATO, and they have been since 1952, aligning itself with the United States, Canada, and various European nations. Turkey has strong relations with Russia and China. Okay? They have a connect, they're connected with Russia. They have a relationship with Russia through energy projects and defense. Okay? And then through China, they have economic ties and alliances there with China as well. But what's even more intriguing, now listen to this, clean out your ears. In the war of Ezekiel chapter 38, Gog Magog, Turkey is identified with the ancient names of Meshach and Tubal. In other words, listen to this, Turkey is directly involved in that war, and they will be one of the nations that the hooks of the Lord are put into the jaws of these nations, and these nations will come in. Again, there will be a coalition of these nations led by Gog, which, again, it's a demonic chief prince spirit. They will invade Israel in what the Bible says, the latter days of Israel. And again, Turkey is specifically identified as Meshach and Tubal, and they will be part of this coalition. So, friends, this is and has biblical ramifications to it. No, we're not in Ezekiel 38, 39. No, this is not the war of Gog Magog that we're seeing unfold in the Middle East, but it is the stepping stones. It is the precursors. The players are getting in position. The war drums are pounding. I'm not talking about just war in general. I'm talking about prophetically. I'm talking about the prophetic war drums of what the prophets have foreseen are pounding, and it's getting louder and louder, just as the birth pangs. Let me wrap this up today. Just as the birth pangs of the Messiah are intensifying, they're increasing, and the earth is in travail, and disasters are becoming greater in magnitude and more intensification. You are seeing this as well as in wars and rumors of wars and nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And I'll throw this out there. I wasn't going to talk about this today, but we'll throw this in there. It talks about, and on the earth in Luke 21, he says, and on the earth, there will be perplexity. Okay, the nations, there'll be distress of nations with perplexity. I believe the complete meltdown of Venezuela that's happening right now, the complete meltdown, they're in civil war, and it was connected to elections. I believe, are you listening to me, Americans? Are you listening to me, to the West? The West needs to pay attention to this, because Could that be a harbinger for us, what's coming in November? Are we going to, what we see on the television in Venezuela, the complete meltdown, the civil breakdown, the unrest, all the things that's happening right there, is that a prelude to what's going to happen in America come November? I don't know. And for anybody to say, well, I could not see that happening, are you kidding me? Could half of you see everything that we just saw in the past month? We have seen more, and I talked about this the other day, we have seen more crazy events centered around politics that we've seen more events in a month's time than I have ever seen in my entire lifetime. Okay? So don't tell me that this is so far-fetched and it's so out there that we would never see this in America. Again, I'm not the only one making that assessment. Even the FBI, the CIA, the Secret Service, all of these quote-unquote agencies have been warning us to prepare for such an event like that. So here's the bottom line, my friend. Luke 21:28, Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, you need to go ahead and look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That's our hope for you today. You say, where's our hope? Where's our hope, Brother Ricky? Our hope, our blessed hope, is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He told us these things would happen. When they asked him, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He told us these things would take place. And he gets all the way down there and he says, don't fret, don't worry, don't be alarmed, don't be troubled. He said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, just look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. My friends, I believe that trumpet is getting shined up. It's getting prepared. It's getting ready to get blown. Come on, that the shout, the voice of an archangel, the blast of the trumpet, and in a moment, and in a twinkle of an eye, come on, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, and we shall be together in the air with the Lord, and we shall forever comfort one another with these words. So listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, please go find our site, bookmark it, download our free app, available on Apple, Android devices. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. You're going to be squared away, and everything's going to be right there at your fingertips. Also, again, if this ministry bless you, encourage you, equips you, informs you, all the above, we ask you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. It's easy to do. Just go to our app. If you've got it, go down to the bottom where it says donate, click there, or you can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and you can give there through many different various ways of electronically. You can give, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Guys, I appreciate you taking the time out to come on to the broadcast tonight. We're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be off tomorrow on the 31st, Wednesday night. On, again, July 31st, we will not be broadcasting tomorrow night. Typically, we don't broadcast on Wednesdays, but we'll be right back here on Thursday, August 1st, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Again, Lord willing. And again, as always, I want to personally thank all of our partners, all of our supporters. You know who you are, the emails, the messages, the all of the above, your prayers, your support, your giving. We thank you so much. The free gifts, the books, different things that you guys sent us in the ministry. Many of you guys have sent us pictures of your family members that you asked us to pray about. We are, as many of you guys know, we're working on finishing our prayer room, and we're going to stream live prayer sessions. I will pray for those on the air. Now, please, I'm not telling you, please don't send me 1,000 pictures of your family members, because I just don't, I mean, I would have to put them all in a box. But listen, when we do these prayer sessions, we want you to take out your pictures of your members of your family. You lay hands on your family members and you pray for them. In Matthew 18:19, Jesus said, if any two shall agree on touching any one thing on earth, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. So you've got to come in agreement for your family. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we shall serve the Lord. So you got to speak to your mountain. You got to pray in your prodigals. You got to pray in your lost loved ones. What we're going to do is we're going to lead, and we're going to, to the best of our ability, Lord willing, we're going to teach you how to pray for them and teach you how to intercede for them. And that's the whole purpose of this. So we can come together as a collective body of believers. Come on and pray and intercede and seek the face of God. So we'll keep you updated on that. It won't be long. We're almost complete with that, and then we'll be, and this may be a weekly thing that we start doing, so I'm excited about that. And if you would, please pray for Brother Ricky. Listen, I need your prayers. There's times I have these physical things that I deal with that are flare-ups that come and go. The last time, for example, I've dealt with this back in what, November, December, January, somewhere around there, and it kind of rears its ugly head. And it's got to do with a lot of muscle tension, and cramping and different things. And this is something, again, this too shall pass. I know that, and I'm confident of that. But again, your prayers, are always appreciated, and we appreciate that so much. So listen, we love you guys. We're going to see you, in two more nights. We'll see you back on here again, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a couple days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.